We all need to remember that we all need to emerge as stronger leaders on this issue, which is obviously why you are all here today. So the more that we all participate in the solutions, the easier it will be for elected and community leaders to solidify their leadership. So really today, we want to help you talk to your colleagues, communities, family, and really policymakers too, about climate and how it relates to them. So the tools and tips we have prepared for you today include successful messages, words and phrases, all that can make your conversations about climate more impactful. So we'll highlight some key talking points today, and I'll also be walking you through a real life example of how to use these steps in your own messaging, both formal and informal. So as many of you know, the conversation about climate has really evolved over time. So really in the early 2000s, we first talked about polar bears and sea level rise and melting ice caps. So this was sort of a fairly Armageddon style of messaging that taps into fear and consequences. And it's still used quite a bit today. But it's important to know that this primarily works for activists and environmentalists, who are really only 10% of the total population in the US. So for everyone else, especially those who might not have climate solutions on their radar, we really need to use a different sort of messaging technique. So then in, you know, about 2008 or so, messaging really shifted to emphasize the green economy and social benefits. And this still didn't really resonate with most Americans because it wasn't tangible enough. And so what we've, you know, come to today and what we know from our research and experience is that to inspire engagement and public support on climate with a larger swath of Americans, we really need to connect the issue to shifting to personal relevance and a stronger focus on solutions. So for instance, health can be a huge part of this new era of climate messaging because it's foundational to all of our lives. So we really need to start posing and answering the questions such as, what will climate solutions do for me, my family, and my community when it comes to protecting and promoting our own health and the health of those we care about? So we also can ask ourselves, what changes have I seen in my own environment and with my own health that results that are dictated by the results of our changing climate? And finally, what I can do to help? So as I said, this is where we are in our new stage of personal relevance. And we know from our latest research that in fact, 6 in 10 Americans now say climate change is personally important to them. And so we have listed out here the 4 key components for personal relevance. The first of which being salience. And those are the climate impacts that we can see through our own eyes and experience daily. The second being unambiguous solutions, which are proven solutions that solve the problem and benefit the economy, our health, and our security. And thirdly, agency and empowerment, which is how you, your community, company, and nation can act and how you can advance and participate in solutions. And finally, the 4th key component for personal relevance, which is a moral imperative, the responsibility for protecting and providing a clean and safe environment for our children, our families, and our communities. So on screen here, you will see a tested message that works particularly well within communities. This message was tested by focus groups, linguists, and online surveys. So I won't take the time to read through the whole message today, but this really is meant to open up the conversation about climate and invite people to stay with you on climate. So depending on the audience, it may serve as a jumping off point to launch into a deeper discussion. And you can find this message in the guide as well. So I just want to quickly look at this message a little bit deeper though and talk about why this message works. So firstly, it appeals to the value of protecting and providing for families, as you can see in the first sentence. We all want to live in the best place for our families. Next, it pairs clean energy with a prosperous life, citing a healthy environment, attract new business, create jobs, and build stronger communities. It also invokes a power of we, a collective call to action that channels the power of groups and inspires a can-do attitude. So as you can see, the can-do or we can sprinkled throughout this message. And finally, it taps into concerns about jobs and the economy, but really refrains from painting a villain and instead focuses on the personal empowerment of local action. So in the Let's Talk Communities and Climate Guide, you'll find this key reference chart that shows more effective and less effective words and phrases, along with explanations as to why we encourage you to replace and embrace these words and phrases. So I really encourage you to check this out in the guide, but just to highlight a couple for you today. So we really recommend, instead of saying climate change, climate crisis, or global warming, you really should embrace damage to the climate. Damage implies human causation and that we can really do something about it. Whereas other terms are more politically polarizing and oftentimes can cause people to disengage. Another phrase we suggest using is building stronger communities rather than resilient communities. Strong is a term that we are familiar with and inspires and empowers us, while resilient is sort of an ambiguous term that many Americans don't quite understand or have mixed feelings about. And then finally, I also wanted to point out the key talking points of the guide. This is included. I won't touch on these today, but I really encourage you to look at these key talking points to incorporate into your everyday communications, and also refer to the counterpoints as well.
And also just to weigh in on that as well, we are starting to issue monthly talking points as well. So topical talking points. So if you want to go on a monthly basis, first week of the month, and check out ecoamerica.org. We will have topical talking points for you to stay abreast.
Yep. Okay.
And those are all freely available for any CCL volunteer without paid membership?
That's right. Oh, yeah. Free.
All on our ecoamerica.org/research. All of the talking points are there, as well as all of our research guides and reports and everything can be found right there. So moving right along to crafting your own message, which is why we're here today. So moving from the messages and specific phrases we just talked about, we really want to help you craft your own authentic message. So for sake of time, I won't be reading through the sample speech, which you all were provided with via email, I think Brett sent out, also on that landing page as well. It's linked there as well. So this is a sample speech that we actually developed with Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker, and it emulates our steps to effective climate communication. So feel free to have that handy. We'll be referring to it throughout going through these steps with you today. So really these steps are meant to serve as a guidance for your drafting and delivering communications in a way that appeals to your audience personally. And these guidelines are drawn from the most recent and respected research. So for sake of time, again, I will be just touching through the first 9 more in depth and then lightly touching the rest. So the first step is start with people, stay with people. And this is really about making your communication about your audience and truly showing it. So as Megan had mentioned before, really that we want to start from where people are today. Start from their perspective and not yours. So if you're talking to a colleague or a fellow citizen, really take into account their perception of local climate change. So it might help to ask, you know, what sort of situations is my audience encountering on a day-to-day basis, and really start from their perspective. This also really means to talk about people first rather than technology, policy, or the planet. This step also notes to the importance of referring back to your audience throughout your communication. The second step is to connect on common values. So this step is about building common ground with your audience. It's really important to open your audience's hearts and minds by discussing your values and showing your community their values are similar or the same as yours, and then eventually moving on into how they align with climate solutions. So first, connect on the values that bring your community together. So for example, family, health, your community are some great places to start. Also, make it clear that you understand your audience's daily priorities. Doing so early on in your communication really builds rapport and provides a strong foundation for you to move forward about talking about climate. So how do you find out what your audience's core values are? Well, first you should start by studying your audience. But from our psychographic research, here are some values on screen that we have found a majority of Americans hold. The first of which being family, which really resonates with Americans in high majorities, and the well-being of future generations. Other common values include health, security, and an optimistic view that we can do something about this. Americans believe that we have the right to clean energy or clean environment. And in fact, we've learned that talking about clean air instead of threats to the environment really resonates. And then finally, Americans generally believe that we have a responsibility to do something about climate change, which is great news, and that they personally have a responsibility. So we'll be referring back to Mayor Becker's speech, as I mentioned, so just to see these first couple steps in action. So Mayor Becker starts out by addressing how in Salt Lake City, we have an incredible history of self-sufficiency from the time of settlement. So right there in the first sentence, he refrains from even mentioning climate change. He instead starts with his audience's hometown, Salt Lake City, and then connects with the values of clean air and water, stewardship, and future generations. Moving on into the third step, which is to acknowledge ambivalence. So no matter where you are, you're likely going to have a climate skeptic in your crowd if you haven't already experienced that. But if your communication comes across too one-sided, that can cause people to shut down and not listen. So in order to hold the space for differing opinions, you really need to create that space. So a simple line like, "We have a variety of views regarding climate change in our community," allows people to be comfortable with their different opinions on climate change and listen with an open mind. So we really want your community to feel comfortable and really gently introduce the concept of climate change in a non-threatening way that helps steer the conversation back to shared values. So after allowing space for differing opinions, the next step is to make climate change real. We often talk about climate change as a global problem. The fact that we have the term global warming or talk about melting ice caps and polar bears really reinforces that global aspect. But what does this mean to someone that isn't a climate activist? A lot of people don't listen to that kind of language because it's both literally and emotionally distant. So it's really important to focus on the impacts that they can see through their own eyes. So for example, we can do this by sharing a story with someone that you've met or someone in your community that has been affected by climate change, or even talking about the changing seasons or record weather that is right in their backyards. But we also really need to be careful with this step. So really only mention one or two climate impacts, then move the conversation quickly back to solutions. So on screen here, we have a couple of suggested resources to help you make it real with your audiences. So on the left is a graphic from the Center for Disease Control that shows the health impacts. So as you can see, it's sort of, you know, breaking it down into the different impacts of air pollution, changes in vector ecology, increasing allergens, and relating that back to human health. And then on the right, we have the National Climate Assessment, which provides both national and local information about the impacts of climate. So remember to keep the impacts personal and keep it short. So going back into Mayor Becker's speech with the line, "Some of us are more worried about damage to the climate and our community's success than others," he's able to make the space for his audience to hold differing opinions on climate change. And then he really is able to bring the reality of climate change home with, in particular to our air quality. Last year, the American Lung Association ranked Salt Lake City as sixth worst air quality in the U.S. So rather than give a laundry list of impacts, he touches on a real, tangible, local example that his audience has probably experienced firsthand. So like Mayor Becker, once you've touched on the local impact, it's important to move quickly to step number 5, which is emphasizing solutions. So remember, we want to build concern for climate, but we also want to prevent concern from turning into fatalism. So in this step, your audience needs to hear that solutions are tangible and effective. So highlight specific solutions that have been or are scheduled to be locally implemented. Like when talking about impacts, present one or two solutions that are here and now. And remember to avoid asking your audience to sacrifice. Like Megan mentioned before, your audience really doesn't want to hear that acting on climate will come at a personal price to them. Therefore, that brings us to step number six, which is inspire and empower, which is really extremely important. We can't stress it enough. Messages about climate change are often doom and gloom, which causes people to shut down and not listen. So instead, highlight how neighborhoods, towns, cities, and states have benefited from climate action. We really want to help people understand that they can do something about climate change and be part of the solution. So after Mayor Becker highlights Salt Lake City's degrading air quality, he quickly pivots to solutions to address these impacts. Using the phrase, "we can," inspires a collective action for climate-friendly behaviors. So as you can see, the "we can build a mobility system" and "we can encourage our local business and food production," he's really asking his audience to collectively act on climate. So now step number seven is to focus on the personal benefit. This is the part of the climate conversation that has been greatly missing to date and is key to deepening personal resonance and motivation for solutions. Many Americans currently think that climate action will come at a personal cost to them when we know the opposite is true. So it's really critical to emphasize how climate solutions advance the mission and values of your community across all communications. We really can't stress this step enough. So here are just a few of the personal benefits we know about for climate solutions, but as you know, there are many, many more. The list goes on for this, but just some that we wanted to highlight today were more money in your pocketbooks, higher quality food and better health, and safer and cleaner places to live overall. So moving along, steps one through seven really helped build rapport, resonance, and confidence in climate solutions. Step number eight is where you crescendo with your ask and show them really how easy it is to do. So do you want your audience to invest in clean energy, talk with their family or friends about climate, or support a citywide efficiency program? It's really up to you to decide what your ask and what ask suits your audience. But remember, this ask needs to align with their understanding of climate change and their personal values. So your ask can encompass one or two specific ideas, but remember to keep them accessible and straightforward. Offering too many options can be confusing and overwhelming at times. So back to Mayor Becker's speech, he highlights how climate-friendly infrastructure benefits citizens by reducing traffic congestion, safety for pedestrians and cyclists, and overall transportation costs. So Mayor Becker then asks his audience to make climate-friendly behaviors a part of their daily lives, and it provides examples to how to do so. So you can see at the bottom, whether you walk your kids to school once in a while, turn off your lights when you don't need them, etc. He really makes it accessible and that they can act on it today. So to wrap up kind of what I've been talking about today with these first eight steps, step number nine is a reminder about the importance of sequence. Research shows that the same six facts rearranged in a different way can lead to a different understanding. So if you start negative and impersonal, it's very, very hard to get back to the positive and personally relevant. Going back to Mayor Becker's message, he connected with his audience through the values of family and clean air and clean water. Then he allowed the space for differing opinions, made an inspiring and personally relevant case for solutions, and then finally, he made a clear and actionable ask. And now I'm just going to briefly touch on the last six steps, which are meant to strengthen your overall message. So starting on the top left with step number 10, which is describe, don't label. This is about, you know, just reminding us that oftentimes when we talk about climate, we use very technical terms, which causes our audience to feel distant from us. So Mayor Becker avoids jargon like mitigation or atmospheric carbon dioxide, and instead uses visual language such as clean power sources like solar and wind. And then step 11, moving on to the middle, trusted messenger. So as I cited before, Mayor Becker uses the American Lung Association to lend credibility to the poor air quality in Salt Lake City. And I think it's also important that it's also a health organization, which all of us, you know, are likely to trust and is sort of nonpartisan. And then let's see, moving on into step 12, which is ditch doom and gloom. This is just a reminder to be positive and motivating throughout your messaging. So Mayor Becker is able to do this by avoiding resignation and citing a couple of health-related climate impacts. But then again, you know, he moves quickly into focusing the conversation back to solutions that will improve the community. And then moving into the second row, which is step number 13, story strengthen. Our research has time and time told us that storytelling really enhances engagement and information retention. So instead of giving a list of scientific climate facts, Mayor Becker uses a personal account of how snowfall has changed over time living in Salt Lake City. And ultimately, this story enhances his rapport and motivates action. And then moving into step 14, which is stay above the fray. This is just a reminder that, you know, Mayor Becker was able to talk big picture and avoid argument and focuses really on the common ground and personal relevance of solutions. And lastly, step 15, which is message discipline is critical. So Mayor Becker keeps his audience's attention by being clear and concise, which makes it easy for his audience to understand, remember, and share. It's important to maintain consistency not only with a single communication, but across all communication platforms. And this is from speeches to tweets. All right, so altogether, the 15 steps can seem like a lot, but it's to make it easier, we like to think of them in sort of these three buckets. The first of which being steps 1 through 4 is really about building rapport, empathy, and forming a connection with your audience, and to really prime the conversation to move into climate. The second bucket, which is steps 5 through 9, help transition into talking about climate change impacts, solutions, and the personal relevance in inspiring and empowering ways. And finally, the last bucket, steps 10 through 15, which I just went through, help make your message memorable. So we really encourage you to use the steps along with the other communication tips we previously went over to help you personalize your message for your audience. And with that, so now we're going to be moving into sort of the more interactive piece. So we'll be doing an editing exercise first. And we have on screen sort of a message that we pulled together that has some of the things we suggested you don't do from the presentation we just gave. And so what we're going to do now is break out into some breakout groups that Brett will be assigning you to. And so just take some time to look over this individually for a few minutes, and then really use your breakout groups as support for talking about, you know, what's good about this message, what's bad, and maybe if you were able to replace some words or phrases, you know, how you might suggest editing this.
Yeah, really appreciate everyone on the call, and feel free to reach out. We have our emails up there, and really encourage you to visit EcoAmerica site and just, you know, browse around and see what other resources you can find. But thank you all again so much. We really, really value everything that you guys are doing.